I want to tell you a story this morning. I can assure you it's a true story. I can also assure you it's not about me. I'm going to talk about a pastor, and it's not a pastor as in me. It's another pastor. But it is a true story. There was a pastor, and in his church there was a family. And this family was very involved. They were active. They were there on almost every Sunday and participated in the ministries of the church. And one week, they came to church and told the pastor that their dog had died. And the pastor patted him on the back and said, I'm so sorry to hear that. Let me know if I can do anything. Well, as the weeks went on, the pastor realized that this family hadn't shown up in a while. They kind of faded out of the ministries. They weren't there on Sunday mornings. And so he gave him a call and he said, you know, I haven't seen you in a while. What's up? And they said, you know what, I think we're not going to be part of the church anymore. And he said, well, what happened? He said, well, our dog is like a child to us. And you didn't really care for us like a pastor should care for someone who lost a child. It's a true story. Some of you, as you listen to that story, might identify with the family. Some of you might identify with the pastor. This was one of the many situations in the life of a church community that has the possibility to be a community-building moment. Unfortunately, in this case, it was a community-breaking moment. I can tell you that the pastor learned a lesson in that. That just because he grew up without a dog, he was allergic to dogs his whole life, never really had a pet that he was close to, and so just because he didn't have that experience of having a pet that was so close like a child didn't mean that that wasn't important to other people. And he learned about what it meant to be a pastor and what it means to be a part of a community, that sometimes being a part of community means feeling other people's needs and concerns, not just how you would feel it, putting yourself in someone else's shoes. Unfortunately, I'm not sure that the family learned the lesson about what it means to be a community. That sometimes, in community, people are not going to be there for you and understand what you need. And that's when it requires grace and forgiveness and healing. Community requires both sides, if you will, to sometimes get away from the reasons we have for breaking apart, and get into the grace that brings us back together in healing. This passage this morning in Mark 10 is one of those situations in the life of Jesus' early community of followers where there's some hostility and dissension and disappointment and unmet expectations. And it has the possibility to break apart this young community. But I think we learn a very important lesson from Jesus about how he handles this situation and how he turns this into a community building moment instead of a community breaking moment. And I think one of the lessons as we just look at this whole scene that we learn is that real Christian community, even the best Christian communities, involve both hurt and healing. Both of those. This morning I just want to have a little discussion about this story. And then talk about some of the lessons, I think, more specifically, that we learn from it. So first of all, the story. What's going on here? We begin in verse 32. I began there because it's there that I think we get a glimpse into why this situation comes up. It says they're going to Jerusalem, and it emphasizes it again because then it says in verse 33, Jesus said, "See, we are going to Jerusalem." Now, the rest of what Jesus said went in one ear and out the other. But the disciples, as they're following Jesus, they've come to this conclusion that he is the Messiah. And part of their expectation is that the Messiah is going to become this king, restore Israel to their glory and greatness. And they expect that to happen in Jerusalem. And so when Jesus says, "We're going to Jerusalem," some things start to get stirred in their hearts. They start to see this as the kingdom coming, and because they're with the Messiah, they're assuming, okay, we're going to get to be somewhere close to the top at the very least. And that's where this request comes in. Now, when I was a kid, we used to have to call shotgun when we were riding somewhere. Did you do that? Okay. Yeah, you call shotgun. Whoever calls shotgun first is to sit in the front seat. But we had a rule that you couldn't call shotgun until you were actually on the way to the car. Okay, so you couldn't call it like the night before. You had to, call it for the rest of the week. No, that wasn't allowed. You had to call it once you were on the way to the car, and that's kind of what happens here. These disciples are like, oh, we're on the way to Jerusalem? Okay, I'm going to call the places of honor in the kingdom. I'm going to call that seat to the right and the left hand of Jesus. James and John, they ask Jesus for a favor. And, we should always beware of someone who says, I want you to give me whatever I ask for. And Jesus isn't a fool. He says, okay, before I agree to that, what do you want? And they say, of course, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Now, Jesus has a couple ways he responds to this. First, he responds by saying, first of all, you don't really know what you're asking. If they'd been listening to his teaching, they would have known that as they go to Jerusalem, this kingdom isn't just a kingdom of glory. It's a kingdom where Jesus, the king, is going to have to suffer through it. And so when he says, can you drink the cup that I drink from? Can you be baptized with the baptism with which I'm baptized? Those are indications, and if we go back through the Old Testament, this is where it comes from. These are images of suffering. And he says, you don't really understand. This isn't just about being at the top. This is about being at the bottom and suffering. Can you do that? The second way he responds to them is really very subtle. I remember last week, if you were listening to Pastor Will, he said, we have this big lesson from Jesus in just the fact that he sits down and exerts his authority. We have another one of those moments this week. Because he's responding to these disciples who are asking and reaching out for this authority, right? That's kind of not really theirs to grasp, but they're asking for it. They're reaching out for the right, and authority is kind of the right to tell other people what they should do, and that's what they're going out and trying to grasp. But Jesus responds by saying, to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant. Jesus responds to their request to reach out and grab authority and their ambition by saying, I don't have that authority. And humbly recognizing what is in his authority. Presumably, the one who prepares the place for these people is the Father. And Jesus very humbly says, you know what? I'm very comfortable and content with my level of authority. And that is kind of the lesson that you should be too. Be ready for whatever place God has to offer you. So I think Jesus handles that pretty well, don't you? But then the story gets really interesting because as we might assume, the other 10 disciples get pretty upset. These guys, they've been walking around together, they've been as part of this community, and all of a sudden these guys are trying to put themselves over all of the other people, all of the other disciples. And you can imagine why they would be upset by that. And it says they are. They began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus has this other moment where this community might be kind of broken. But Jesus called them and said to them, and I want to stop right there for a moment because it's important that Jesus actually does do something about it. There's going to be a quote up there when Kevin presses the button that says, tolerance is a cheap substitute for grace. A lot of times in our communities, we just kind of tolerate each other. And, you do what you do, you do what you do, whatever, we'll just kind of go on. And Jesus could have said, we're almost in Jerusalem, we're almost there, let's just move through it and I'll do my thing and everything will be okay. He doesn't. He addresses this situation. He addresses this cancer, this disease that he sees coming up in this little community. He addresses it. He called to them and said, you know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. He says, in these communities, people reach for power, and they use that power to get others to do what they say. But not so with you. Not in this community. This is a different kind of community. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. Last week, Pastor Will talked about that word deacon, servant. This week, he goes a step further, slave. He says, if you want a real community, it's not this community that I'm building isn't built on rights and having reasons to break community and power and all these things. It's about being a servant. It's about being a slave, letting go of your rights and just committing yourself to the other people in this community. And Jesus, far from being one to not practice what he preaches, says, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." He says, you want to know what this community is all about? You want to know how to live in this community? Watch me. Watch my life as I heal people and as crowds converge on me and I just want to rest. Watch me go out and heal and teach. Watch me as we go to Jerusalem, as I walk to this cross. And as we read Isaiah 53, I think it kind of gives us a glimpse of this Messiah. And the section in Isaiah 53 is called the Suffering Servant. That's who Jesus is. He walks to the cross. He takes on our sin and experiences stuff that he should never have to experience. Why? Because he values the community. He wants to be with us. He loves us. He's not willing to just let us bear our own sin, our own trials. He takes it upon himself. That is the kind of community Jesus is creating among his disciples and is asking them to create when he leaves them. So what is the lesson that we learn? What are the lessons that we learn from this scene? And I don't want to only look at the words. I want to look at the whole scene and what we see there. And the first lesson that I think we learn from this scene is we need to have appropriate expectations for our communities. We are well-trained as consumers, are we not? We're told all the time how to be a consumer of things. Customer's always right. You know, get what you want. The consumer mentality is that I get what I want or I get out. If I don't get the right service at a restaurant, I get out of there. I don't go there anymore. And maybe I write a nasty little review online about how poor the service was, right? I get what I want or I get out. Jesus really contrasts what it means to be a consumer and what it means to be in a community. Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about expectations. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a wonderful German theologian, a story beyond that. Okay, so another time we'll talk about Dietrich. But for now, we're just going to look at this quote from a book called Life Together that I just finished reading. "He who loves his dream of a community, his ideal community, more than the Christian community itself, becomes the destroyer of the latter. Even though his personal intentions may be ever so honest and earnest and sacrificial." Do you get what he's saying there? You know, we're talking about small groups in the fall. And I've lauded the benefits of small groups and all the things that can happen and how they can be communities of healing and mission and all kinds of great things. But if we go into these communities and have this idea for what it's going to be, oh, it's going to be so wonderful. And so perfect. It's going to change my life to be a part of it. And don't realize that there are going to be hard things and that we're getting into a community with other people who need healing, other people who have sin in their life, other people who are imperfect beings. If we don't realize that and recognize that there can be hurt there too, we're going to have a problem. Because if we go into these communities, and this really spoke to me when I read this quote, if we go into these communities with these ideal expectations, pretty soon, someone's going to disappoint us. And we're not going to get exactly what we want. And we're going to share something and someone's going to say something that we don't want them to say, whether from good intentions or ill. And all of a sudden, we're going to be really disillusioned with that community. And we might just leave it. As we enter into community together, that means we get all the healing, but we also get the hurt that goes along with being in a community. When we open ourselves up, we have the possibility, among other imperfect people, of not experiencing the ideal. If you enter into community, don't expect people to love you perfectly. They will not. Jesus' community of disciples, they've been following him for how long? He's been teaching them these lessons over and over again, and they are still struggling with what it means to be a community. We are not going to necessarily surpass them right away, or maybe ever, for that matter. Don't expect people to love you perfectly. These communities are meant to hopefully love each other well, but even more to help us get in touch with the one who does love us perfectly. It's not on all of our shoulders to love one another and give one another everything we need. God has promised that, and that's what these communities are about. Channeling each other towards a God who loves us perfectly. as a pastor, that's something I have to remember too. You know, I study this. I study the Bible. I study community and all this stuff. It's easy to walk into a place and say, this is going to be the greatest community ever, and here's how you do it. And have this vision of a congregation that is the perfect congregation. Everyone loves each other. Everyone cares for each other. Everyone serves each other. Everyone knows, like, reads the Bible all the time and has it memorized. And, you know, all kinds of great expectations that a pastor might have for a community. I have to remember that I'm not that. You're not going to be that either. Same with your expectations for me. And that, like that family with the dog. You know, it might have been a very reasonable expectation for them to expect that pastor to really care for them in that time. The fact was he didn't. And the fact is I won't, always. And I already haven't, for some of you at some point, been there for you. And given you exactly what you needed. And loved you and cared for you the way a pastor should. That's the reality of a community. So we need to have proper expectations. We need to have proper expectations for our small group communities. We're not there yet. We need to expect that. Second lesson that we learn is about our hopes for community. So all of that expectation talk aside, I think we still need to have greater hopes for our communities than we often do. We need to not just be a community that is okay with just tolerating each other. Oh, we all come, we all give our hugs, we all smile at each other on Sunday morning. And you know, I don't really know that person's life, and it's just as well that I don't. Because if I did, then I probably wouldn't want to be in community with each other. That is not the kind of community Jesus is talking about here. Dan Allender has one of the best definitions of love that I've read, but it's probably a definition that might really kind of grate on you when you hear it. He says, love's intention is in part to destroy the arrogance and ugliness in the beloved soul in order to enhance their God-given beauty. I love that definition. What he's saying is that love is not just about tolerating someone else. Oh, different strokes for different folks. No, he says there are some things in our lives that really don't belong there. And he says love is doing everything you can to help that person be as beautiful a man or a woman or a child as God created them to be. That, to be a slave to that purpose. To help them become the person that God created them to be. That's love. Jesus doesn't just tolerate this anger and dissension and hostility and greed in his community. He addresses it. Another quote from William P. Young, who you might know as the author of The Shack. He writes, I suppose that since most of our hurts come through relationships, so will our healing. And I know that grace rarely makes sense for those looking in from the outside. We get hurt in relationships. We get hurt in communities. It's true. Because, you know, we're not perfect. And people hurt us. But how do you overcome the fear of falling off a horse? We have an expression about this. You get right back on, right? How do you address the hurts that come through community? Only by being in community. Allowing yourself to be hurt a little bit. Because you know that there's a greater hope beyond that hurt. We know that for Jesus, going through the hurt and the suffering of the cross, there was resurrection. And that's true when we're willing to stick with a community. Go through those times of hurt. Sometimes those times of hurt are because someone said something to us that we didn't want to hear, but that we needed to hear. Sometimes that hurt is because someone really just hurt us. But regardless, community means sticking with it. Sticking with each other through those times and having a hope that there's something better through that community, that there's healing. Third lesson are the conditions for community. The conditions. And Jesus says, whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. Taking the attitude of a slave. We're not here to consume community. We're not here to just take in everything everyone else is going to give us. And if they don't give it to us, we leave. We're here to live in community. We're here to serve each other in community. We're here to contribute to one another and to the kingdom of God together. The condition for community that Jesus lays out is a commitment to community, a resistance to consumerism, where we put the good of the community over the immediate personal ambitions and desires that we may have. That's what I think it means to be a slave of others. The good of the community over my immediate good, and trusting that my ultimate good is through the good of the community. Does that make sense? Or am I just kind of being abstract here? Okay. You can say I'm being abstract and I need to clarify more. You're like, I don't want to say that because then the sermon's just going to be longer. The condition for community is being a servant, being a slave, which means that we don't quit when we're hurt. We don't avoid community altogether because we're afraid we might get hurt. It means that those times of hurting are times where we seek to learn God's love, where we seek to be infused with God's grace and forgiveness, and what it means to become a community that God desires. Small groups are a chance to really experience spiritual growth and mission and healing, and I firmly believe that. But please don't go into them expecting that all to be painless and easy and utopic, some utopic society among us. These communities are some of the biggest challenges of faith, because over and over again, they're going to drive us to, one, be rooted in God's love for us. The more we're imperfectly loved by others, the more we realize that we need a perfect love that God has to give us. And so that's why these communities are rooted in God's word. Because we need God's love first. And only then can we learn what it means to love one another. These communities, as you enter them, require us to remember that Jesus had hopes for us and our lives beyond our sin. And these hopes for us to become the beautiful creatures that we were created to be were worth suffering and dying and being hurt for on the cross. And so when we see other people and it's hard, we need to remember that hope that Jesus had for us and have that hope for others. And lastly, we need to remember that community is the hospital in which Jesus heals. Community is it. We're wounded healers together. We all have wounds and we all have the power through the Holy Spirit and the grace of God to heal, bring healing to one another. But that requires us to be servants. We are servants, slavishly committed to the sometimes painful, but always worth it, community of love in which Jesus brings healing to all of his brothers and sisters. That's our community. Let's pray. Loving and gracious God, Lord, we know that we are not always the best at being community. But Lord, we know also that we need it. We need community with you, who has loved us so deeply. We need community with each other, because we need help living this life that you've called us to. Lord, I pray that you would speak into our fears of really being a part of communities. I pray that you would give us the security in your love and grace, that we are just free to be with one another and to open up our lives to one another. Lord, and I pray that as we do this, as we make these little steps, that you would give us that encouragement along the way to see your hopes for us and to see what these communities are creating. I pray that you would help us to invite others into a community that is so loving and blessed and healing, but is also very real and authentic and human. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.